1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2.
All right.
Well, folks, I never thought that a prophetic theme would happen about abandoning technology. But I'm going full old school this morning because I want to have God get the glory. I want him to move in a way that is like totally fundamental. You know, I can just get up here and God can use me no matter what tools I have in my hand. But I'm just going to get up. God's in the business of resurrection. Not only did he rise from the dead, but he's in the business of restoring and bringing back to life things that seem dead and dry and wasteland. And he can make a river in the desert. And that has to become our theme as Christians, is when things look like they're dry, dead, and in a wasteland, that we can stand up and declare the life-giving power of God in the church, in our lives, in our marriages, in our workplaces, our businesses, all of our families. We can declare the life-giving power of God. We can declare it. He's in the business of resurrection. I believe that there's, in Ecclesiastes, there's a word about seasons and how there's a season for casting stones, scattering them, and then a season for gathering them. And we can believe that God operates in a similar fashion. He can bring in when it's required. He is the King of Kings, and he sits on his throne above all of the world and humanity, and he can do whatever he likes. He was God before we were born. He's going to be God well after the world has passed away. And he stands in that authority this morning, and he's chosen to use little old me to bring a word to encourage your faith this morning. I like being up here, not for the fact of being up here, but being able to blow on your fire and go just a little bit, just a little bit, in the hopes that you might be strengthened. Because it's a hard job. It's a hard job. You have to stand in your faith and you have to do it diligently because there's plenty of stuff in the world, especially today, that we'll try and peck away at it. Little by little, nobody chooses to leave this good stuff overnight. It's little by little, erosion, concession to the lies of Satan over time. And God wants to continuously put a stake in our hearts of his word and his promise to you today, and to this church, and to the church in Moruya, and to the church in Australia, and the world. He wants to call those who have not yet been brought into his family. And we are his hands and feet here this morning. I just want to pray. Father God, you are Lord Almighty. You have mercy on whom you want to have mercy. And your word for us today is what we need so badly. We need to have that truth to stand on, the rock of our salvation. And Lord, I pray that this morning that my lips will be used of you, that my voice would resound with your words and your spirit, and may people's lives be touched and changed now, right now. By your power, not by my wisdom or eloquent words, but by your power in this place this morning with people who believe and who are waiting on you and have their hearts open to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I'm just going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Witnesses, you are the only you. You are the only you. And all of heaven is watching to see that you succeed in you and your race. The race is marked out for you, your lane, your destiny. No one else can do it for you, but Jesus has pioneered it for you. I want to see every single person succeed in their faith. I want them to reach every height of their potential in God, because we all benefit. Believe it or not, this is not just about you. This is not just about you. This is about the people you touch, the people you influence, the people who rely on you for you being you. See, if Steve wasn't here, my life would be poorer. For sure. 100%. And another thing, sometimes, I don't know if anyone feels this way, but when certain people are watching, you behave differently, don't you? I don't know how many times this scripture has influenced my decisions. Not in the terms of fear, ooh, they're all watching, like a boss, in some people's cases. but in a way that makes me want to do them proud. People are championing you along. And I know that, you know, certain people have had people come around them and champion them along. And that's God and his presence in our lives, but also it's a witness, a cloud of witnesses. People on earth, people in heaven. It's a bit out there, isn't it? I like to think that. I like to think that that's the case. I like to think that my dad can tune into the Christopher Channel and go, ah, that's my boy. Like he is right now. And, you know, that can influence our decisions, isn't it? When I'm faced with a difficult circumstance and I have to draw on my character and go, what am I going to do about this? I just think about the people who are watching, the people who have gone before me, and the Lord. And I want to run my race in such a way that it honors their presence. Throw off everything that hinders us. Man. In this sinful world, there is so many things that will try and hinder us. Amen. There's so many opportunities. No wonder we need such a strong girding of our loins and such protection. Hurt, pain, the old ways, unforgiveness, false expectations, sin that so easily trips us up. You know, we've got to get a bit strong on it. We've got to get a bit fierce. We've got to be determined. Our faith is a determined thing. This passage speaks about a determination to win our race, to reach the goal, to reach the potential that God has for our lives, our church, our nation. The Lord has a plan. The difference between accepting a lie and rejecting it depends on our security and how we stand on the truth. So, where you don't have a conviction, you're easily swayed. See, there's lots of things in my life that, you know, if I wasn't a born-again Christian, I will be somewhere else, far, far away from God. But because of the truth that was sown into my life from the Word of God, I stand firm, not necessarily in my own power, because there's lots of weakness there, but God's power in my life and His Word has kept me strong and standing on the rock. That's why Jesus is referred to as the rock or the cornerstone, because He's strong and solid. We can't stand if we're not anchored to the truth. How can we cast off if we haven't got anything to cling to? We've got to cling to the right stuff. We've got to cast off and cling like that to win this race. Perseverance. Conviction meets long suffering. The most unpopular spiritual gift there ever was. Because long suffering is just that. You can't mince it, can't make it pretty. It's long suffering. And why would you do that? Why does the Holy Spirit in your life produce that fruit? Why are you compelled by His Spirit to suffer long? Is it because of some self, you know, affication or, you know, like trying to make up for something? No. We do it because of our conviction, our character. Jesus submitted to the cross and suffered long on this earth. He humbled Himself and was humiliated and suffered long because of His conviction. Long suffering is only possible with divine revelation and vision. See, sometimes we go through things and it's very easy. People in the world do it all the time. Why do I have to suffer in this relationship? I'm just going to go. I'm going to leave a marriage of 50 years. So easy. But for someone who is a Christian, that might be a different decision. That might be something where the Holy Spirit has called you into that long suffering and patience. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Proverbs 29:18. Excuse me. I have really gone old school here. 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." Now, not the law as in you can't keep everything perfect, but if the law of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit life that we have, He tells you what you should do now. So under the law of the Spirit, a life under the Spirit, you have what you need to have revelation to keep you in those moments that to a normal person in the world, they would flee the other way. That takes courage and that takes conviction. And that's what the world needs so badly today. We need to have a church of people who have decided and who do not move in regards to their faith and what God has called them to do and to be. An anchor holds a large ship in heavy seas because it's gone down into the seabed. We need to have our faith firmly planted in Christ and in the Word. Matthew 7:24-25 is the parable of the house that was built upon a rock. Shows that when we're anchored in His Word and His character, that we shall not be moved. We can't be moved. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. How can I fix my eyes on Jesus, you ask? We can do so by knowing Him through His words and spending time in His presence. Jesus mapped out your life and has a plan for you. So when we're finding it a struggle and when we don't see forward, We just have to remember that he has a plan for our lives, and that no matter what's going on, he's 100% in control. He knew about it before you were born. Before you took one breath, he had already written your name. You have a destiny. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And Psalm 139:16, which says, used to be that we were comfortable with these silences. Still good. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So he is the pioneer of your faith. He went before you. He saw everything and he did it on the cross. And now you're just walking in what he's established in your life. God called you for a reason. He didn't just call you to leave you floundering. You have a race that you've got an end goal for. You're going to win because you are in him. If you stay in him and don't quit, and if you keep going with perseverance and long-suffering, he is going to do it for you. He is going to be your pioneer and perfecter. You don't have to take that on board. He is going to help you 100%. Peter 1:6-9 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined through fire, may be proved genuine and may result in the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Finally, for the joy. For the joy. For the joy. For the joy. Hang on a second. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What's been set before you? What's been set before you? What do you see in your spirit? What do you see that God has for you? Do you have that? Are you willing to endure for that? Endure the cross, your cross? Will we do it for him? God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, endured one of the most degrading of deaths for our own salvation because he knew the joy of having us was far greater than the shame that he endured on the cross. Your purpose is bigger than your pain. Your purpose is bigger than your pain. I'll say it again. Your purpose is bigger than the pain that you are enduring right now. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He is the pioneer. He's done it before. We're not greater than the master. He's endured all sorts of suffering. He was a man of sorrows, the Bible says. And he endured that for us. Will we not consider that as an encouragement? That he knows. He knows what we go through. He knows the hard times. He understands. He was human in the flesh, God in the flesh. One of the most heartening things in human existence I reckon, is to go through hardship with someone who's done it all before. They know just what to do. That helps us not to lose heart. A dad is like that, a good dad. He's done it all before. He's been there for a son. And he goes, son, that's all right. This happens. I understand this. I feel what you're feeling. I've done it before. And have that strength undergirding your faith, knowing that Jesus has done it before. He was human. He faced nothing that we didn't face as well. He experienced it all. I liken it to having a good nurse. When you're in hospital and you're connected to whatever and you're feeling a bit crook or vulnerable, having someone who knows what's going on and who has the medical knowledge, someone who's around you and doing the practical stuff. God can do the practical stuff. Everything is possible with God to those who believe. He can supply all our needs. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. He does. Amen? You know, things can be overwhelming, but that person who's been there, done that, and gone in our shoes, or knows what's going on, they can relieve and bring comfort and security to the situation. That's Jesus for us in our faith. The embodiment of knowledge and experience as being a human. We can then be elevated out of our circumstances because of this truth, this beautiful truth. Out of our current circumstances and feelings. You know what? That's been my journey of late. You know, like being a father and having a lot of change in life and in the workplace and in my social settings and in all sorts of other financial stuff. My one catch cry has been to be elevated out of those things, not changing them. God meets those needs, but and I can't do it. Even if I'm struggling with it, I can't do anything about it. But to cling to God and spending time in His presence, I am elevated far beyond my current circumstances and feeling. It's like a battle. You must put your stake in the ground in concerning your faith and your faith and belief in Jesus Christ and what He can do right now for you, both in any sort of circumstance. God is faithful. God is faithful beyond any doubt in my mind. You know what? There's been a couple of seasons now of the same sort of thing happening in my life. Well, this is the second time round. I remember when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I wasn't living a great life at the time. My dad was very sick with heart disease. My mum was very stressed and had shingles, and my elderly grandma, my mum's mum, was living with us, and she had dementia, and I was going through my HSC, and I wasn't making really great choices with relationships. And through it all, we had a really bad year, 1 year, and I had to get out of my social situation and make some choices that were right, you know, because Joyce Meyer was preaching at the time on on Sky TV, and so her ministry to both my father and I meant that I was going to make a right choice, and a right choice, and a right choice, and a right choice. So, you know, God was dealing with all of that, and then, but the long and the short of it was, I had to spend some time alone with my right choices. It's never easy to make a right choice. Well, it can be, but at some point it gets harder because you're going against the grain. The world wants you to give up and pass it on, concede to the lies that we're all being fed by the father of lies that's in control of this world. But at some point you're going to be alone in your choice. And I had to cling to Jesus through that season. How many have been through a season like that? Yeah, that's right. So when I'm feeling that way recently, I'm going, hang on a minute, I've done this before. Be encouraged. The Lord is teaching us a way that is better. I just have to learn to weather the storm and to cling to Him. Because you know what, folks? He's Lord. He's King of the universe. He can do whatever He likes. He has mercy on whom He has mercy. And He does things that we don't know anything about. His ways are higher. And He can do whatever He wants in our lives, in this church. You know, things might look dead. Things might look sick. They might look unhealthy. Things might not look great on the outside, but God's doing a work. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. Never stops working. Come on. And I just totally believe that our faith has to go deeper. God just does whatever He does, whenever He wants. But our responsibility is to stay in the rock and keep walking forward in your lane. Another thing that God likes to break off is comparison. You know, people trying to measure up to people. You know, the reason why God wants me to get back to the basics is because so many times it's just all up here. But what do we do when we get all the way down to here and there's no comparison? It's just rock bottom. What do you really want to say? What do you really believe? What has God called you to be and do? That has to be up to you and Him. None of this other stuff on the top. It's all core stuff, and that's what He's interested in. Philippians 1:6. I love this scripture. Because when it doesn't look like things are going the right way, I think about this one. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began. God doesn't abandon His work. He is a good worker. He is faithful to complete what He started. He doesn't abort His works. If you've been called and you've accepted Him, He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to finish His work. Neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demons. Hallelujah. Romans 8. In all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Never a truer saying. He's got you in the palm of His hands. He's got you. The wonderful thing about this type of life in Christ is that it elevates us above everything. So we can say that to cancer, that depression, that situation, that debt, that anxiety, that ruined relationship, that impossibility, that Jesus is using that to perfect your faith, and you are above it. Jesus is elevating you out of those things. He never wished that upon you. He's working that for your good. He's just showing His glory. That's something I love from Exodus. And I'll finish on this. I promise. I know it's been hard going. I'm trying to get all this stuff that God's been talking to me out of my mouth. It's really hard. hang on a second. I'm just trying to find where it is. Da da da. Yeah, just talk amongst yourselves. I think, yeah, it basically, when Moses was delivering the people of Israel, God asked him to go and talk about the plague, or, you know, like, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And instead of conceding after having been, like, totally decimated by plagues and other curses, Pharaoh's heart hardened again and made everything harder for the Israelite workers. And there were two leaders who walked out and saw Moses after seeing Pharaoh and said, "The Lord judge you. You've made it harder on us, blah, blah, blah." They had not a good word to say to Moses. Then when Moses consulted with the Lord, he said, "I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And he just said exactly who he was, his name and his character. And that's what we have to bring up, because he didn't harden Pharaoh's heart for any other reason other than to show his strength, his deliverance of his special people. And God's going to do that for you. God has a special plan for your life, and he's going to show his glory. That's what he wants. He wants to show himself to be your savior and your king and your God. And, you know, like, God wants the credit. If you could do it in your own strength, you know, it wouldn't be anything of what God wants. I've made my decision, no matter what it looks like, in the church, in my soul, in the world, I will bless the Lord. And that just puts it in the enemy's face. I tell you what, folks, we have to be aggressive in our rejoicing. You can't fight with words, but you can fight it with praise, which is a different type of words. I will bless the Lord. I will not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103. So, in conclusion, I just want to say, you know, what I do these days is my time is in the car to and from work. I get 25 minutes of heaven either way, each way, and at the very least, every day. I press into that, and it's in those times that you can remember who you are. But you've got to say it. You've got to get aggressive, and you've got to stand on this stuff. The Lord is asking you to stand. And having done all, just to stand. This morning, I want to encourage everybody that in your heart, you will be determined, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you thought would happen, no matter how impossible it is, that God can do anything. God can do anything, no matter what it looks like, especially when it doesn't look like it's going to happen. God wants to make a plan right there, especially when you don't think it's going to happen. He gets the glory. He gets 100% of the glory, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Things don't seem too vibrant at the moment with what's going on in the world and, you know, in the church as well at large, and not even just in our own experiences here, but we're a church of faith. And we look beyond what's on the outside, don't we? We see what God's doing underneath it all. And we have faith that he's going to do the impossible. He's going to deliver, and he's going to set us on a path individually, corporately, of ever increasing glory. He's going to have his way. We're going to see people saved here, right here, on this carpet, at this joint here. There's going to be someone who's going to be totally healed and set free right here. I can stand here and say that with all conviction. Right here, someone's going to be massively set free. I believe that. I'm not just, you know, spouting forth random things hoping that it'll happen. It's going to happen. I have firm conviction, not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. See, the world yearns. It yearns for people and for a God who's not going anywhere, who will be devoted. People want true love and true healing in their souls. And they need that. They need that. Just so much hurt. And so many people need that touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're out there crying out and they don't know. They don't know Jesus. They don't know that's the way. Folks, the harvest is great. I thank God. I thank God for the future of this church. I thank God. I thank God in the midst of trials and circumstances in our own lives. Come on, you can think of a lot of things that's going on in your lives. I don't have to stand up here and exemplify everything. You guys have some stuff going on. I know you all do. We all do. God is going to get the glory, whether I feel it now or I don't. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. He is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. I stand. I stand. We stand. How about we all stand? How about we all stand? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing it one more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for the word that's been brought in this house today. We honour you, Jesus, and we give you all praise, all honour. It's a delight of our heart, Jesus, to come and lift you up. And Father, we know that you're working. But Father, you also ask that we come by faith, faith the substance of things unseen. Father, for some of us today, we're rejoicing that our lives are where we believe they should be in you, Lord. And we do rejoice in that. For others, Lord, that Father, we're going through things and we can't see out the other side. But we know, Lord, that it's not the seen but the unseen that brings us to you. And Father, today we lift up each and every one of those people in this place, Lord, that are going through things. But we ask, Father, for eyes, Father, to see you in the midst of it all, that we constantly look to you, Jesus. There is nothing else. There is no one else. Only you, Jesus. And today we honour you, we praise you, and we glorify you. And we thank you, Father, that as these next songs come, Father, that we rejoice in that. We rejoice that you have all things in control. You will complete the good work you began in us. And Father, that if there's those that wish to have prayer, that through these songs they'll come and Christopher will pray with them. And Father, as we conclude this service through this worship time, Father, we just honour you. And as each and every person goes from this place throughout this week, Father, we just speak a blessing on their lives. We speak a blessing on those that aren't with us today, Father, a blessing of your healing. Father, that you will take these bodies that you knit together perfectly in our mother's wombs, that are fearfully and wonderfully made, and Father, that weren't created to have illness or sickness, but that are of you, Jesus, that you will, Father, bring healing by the stripes you took at Calvary into the lives of each and every person in this place and throughout our community, Father, that are part of our church. And we give you glory today, Jesus, as we just finalize this service. If you want prayer through the next